The Water Values Podcast, Session 10.
Welcome to the Water Values Podcast. This is the podcast dedicated to water utilities, resources, treatment, reuse, and all things water. Now here's your host, Dave McGimson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Water Values Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you're doing well today. You know, last Friday I attended the Colorado Foundation for Water Education's annual fundraiser. Now, they put on a great program and I saw lots of friends and made some new ones. It really reaffirmed why I like water so much. Not that I needed a reaffirmation, but just lots of quality people there and people who are passionate about water, just like you. And so I wanted to say thank you for listening. Your numbers are growing every day, and I really appreciate your continuing listenership. Or if you're tuning in for the first time, thanks for giving the Water Values Podcast a try. One thing, if you could please do for me, please take 20 seconds and rate and review the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. We've received 12 ratings on iTunes, 11 five stars, and one star rating, and only one person has reviewed the podcast so far, so more reviews would be greatly appreciated. And it will also, more reviews will also help others find the Water Values Podcast and help spread the word. Now on to today's program. We are fortunate indeed today. Will Sarney, Deloitte Consulting's practice leader for Enterprise Water Strategy, joins us. I've been thoroughly impressed with our guests to date so far on the podcast, and Will continues that tradition of great guests. You'll really enjoy this interview and learning about how business approaches water as a risk and as an opportunity. Okay, you knew it was coming. So here are the disclaimers. I'm a lawyer licensed in Colorado and Indiana, and nothing in this podcast should be taken as providing legal advice or as establishing an attorney-client relationship with you or anyone else. Additionally, nothing in this podcast should be considered a solicitation for professional employment. I'm just a lawyer that thinks water issues are interesting and that public education about water issues is needed. And that includes educating myself about water issues because no one knows everything about water. With that said, let's get on with it. Open the valves, fasten your seatbelts, and here we go. Will, thanks very much for coming on to the Water Values Podcast. Greatly appreciate your time. Could you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got interested in water?
Sure. So really a pleasure to be here. It's certainly my favorite topic and dominates my my work day and sometimes weekends. But sure, a little bit about my background. I started my career as a hydrogeologist, so I'm a groundwater guy, and spent roughly about 20 years working on water supply projects and contaminant hydrology projects in the U.S. And the Caribbean. So really got hooked on water very early on, and I was fortunate. I worked for a groundwater consulting firm in the New York area, and that was really sort of the perfect time to get hooked on water. It was a small shop, a bunch of USGS guys doing big water supply projects. So it hooked me instantly. And in a lot of ways, my career has sort of come full circle now. So I spend really all my time on water-related issues.
Those water-related issues, I've heard some of your presentations before. It's really looking at water as a business risk, right? Is that the big issue you're looking at?
It is. So where I sit in Deloitte Consulting is, I primarily focus on the commercial side. So working for private sector clients, U.S. multinationals and, European multinationals, Asian, on why water is a business issue and, how they relate to water, either on the risk side of the equation or the business opportunity side. Something that you and I were talking about before is that increasingly there is a demand coming from the public sector side. So at the federal level, state, municipality level, there's increasing awareness that water scarcity impacts certainly the commercial side, but business growth, economic development, and so on. So you're really seeing this sort of blending of issues, not just from one side or the other, but really a recognition that public and private sector partnerships really are needed to address water risk issues and, again, business opportunities. So, as we frame this as a business issue, it is primarily a risk associated with physical availability of water. So do you have enough water of the right quality when you need it, where you need it, to run your business. Is there a regulatory risk aspect of this? So, you know, what are the regulations right now? We include pricing in that discussion. And what might they look like 10 or 20 years out from now? And then also reputational risk. So how do stakeholders perceive how you're managing water, or, you know, are you a steward of water? So what you can do is look at all those factors and quantify to the extent possible what that risk looks like in terms of business value, and really sort of moving you away from just thinking about the price of water.
Okay. Let's talk about the, you know, the business risk aspect of that. And when let's say we have a fictional company, what are they going to look at to try and quantify this business risk? What are the factors they're going to take into account there?
Sure. So let's say you're a U.S. multinational. You have some operations in the U.S., but you're looking to grow internationally. You're looking at key markets, let's say in Asia and Africa. You've got a supply chain, and you've got consumers in, you know, a wide range of areas. So the first thing you'll want to do is really understand how much water you're using through your direct operations, so within your four walls. So you can quantify that fairly readily. You'll also want to look at your supply chain. So if you're a beverage company or a food company, your agricultural supply chain is significant in the scheme of things. So how much water is going into producing, you know, barley or sugar, whatever the input might be. And then in certain instances, if you're a personal care company, then your consumers use water in using your products. So if you're selling soap and shampoo, then the availability of water plays into that equation rather significantly. and that's actually worth focusing on a little bit, because this is driving innovation. So really understanding water use across your entire value chain is the first step, and then overlaying the geographic component to it. So is most of my growth going to come from water scarce or water stressed areas? Well, if that's the case, then you need a strategy to manage that going forward. Does it drive innovation in your products? Can you make shampoo that doesn't use water or less water? Things like that. Can you support barley production to get that sector to be more efficient and more effective in how they're using water, and so on? And then, you know, you really take that information and quantify it, essentially put a dollar value on that, and then start making investment decisions based on the location of your operations or your growth strategy or your consumers, whatever it may be. So it's, it's taking some of the water scarcity mapping tools and driving that to another level of thinking.
Okay, that's absolutely fascinating. You're bringing in this whole value chain, and we've talked on this podcast before about the energy water nexus. We're bringing into that nexus another component, which is the food security or the food nexus. Can you talk a little bit about how those three, you know, energy, water, and food kind of relate to each other?
Sure. And, you know, almost every sustainability conference you go to these days, there is at least some discussion of the energy, water, food nexus. And you're seeing global organizations like the World Economic Forum,